Another great local is our good friend Wes Mitchell, following Carolina football and more for GamecockCentral.com. Appreciate his time today. How you doing, sir?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Doing all right. Tommy and I were lying to you, by the way. We are going to give you the next 15 minutes to do nothing but talk about the baseball program, Wes. So have it. No, I'm kidding. We've done enough of that for a little while here. But in all seriousness, last week, I think I'll use the pun again. We were throwing a bit of a curveball with the timing of the Brandon McIlwain announcement when he decided that he was done. And that was it. Mm-hmm. I guess he'll finish out the semester academically, but otherwise he is done with both sports that he was playing at USC. And that does present, in my opinion anyway, Wes, a real dilemma. Now we have a few more days under our belt for spring ball. Still plenty of time left before the spring game. But this seems to have to up the ante on Kurt Roper and the offensive staff to really produce a solid number two going into the summer, doesn't it?
It does, and, you know, I think, let's be honest, it's going to be difficult. You know, Michael Skarnecki is a guy that really we, as long as he's been here, we don't know a heck of a lot about. He doesn't have much experience at all. Because of the injury last year, doesn't really have a lot of practice experience either. So, you know, you're looking at him, obviously a couple of walk-ons that are on campus, and, you know, Jay Urich is a kid that, they have been telling, even before McIlwain left, they were telling Urich, you know, come in ready to play. Be ready. You know, you never know what could happen. You could be on the field. Now, while he was being recruited, he wasn't necessarily a guy you were looking at saying that he was going to come in and just play right away. So I think it's a situation where it is a huge question mark. You know, they're going to look into the graduate transfer options that are out there, but at the same time, if you're talking about a grad transfer and the guy's really good, he's probably not too interested in coming to Columbia to sit behind Jake Bentley. If you're a grad transfer, you're going somewhere to play. So I think this is a very real issue for South Carolina moving forward. Now, that said, there's a lot of schools out there that they have question marks at quarterback, you know, QB1. So I think South Carolina's quarterback situation, having a guy like Jake Bentley returning, it is not necessarily a bad situation, but not really having a known backup certainly is a question.
You know, a grad transfer who may not be a top NFL prospect or anything like that, but to me it's still a pretty entertaining proposition to come in and be only a twisted ankle away from getting some good playing time in an SEC environment. But speaking of Skarnecki, can you describe maybe his style a little bit for us?
Yeah, he's a big kid. You know, actually does throw a pretty ball. I think that's the first thing you notice about him is he throws a nice catchable ball, has some touch to it. Not really a runner. He's more of a guy that's going to stand in there and deliver the football. You know, I would actually say past those things, I think all the other things are sort of things we don't know. You know, I think the biggest thing with a quarterback goes well beyond the physical traits. Quarterback has to be able to process all the information coming at him. He has to be a leader. He has to be a backup quarterback. They got to be ready every week, even knowing there's a pretty good chance that they'll never even get on the field. So I think, can he process the information quickly? Does he know the scheme well enough? Can he go out there and physically deliver the football down the field with the deep ball, stuff like that? I think those are all things that the coaching staff and, you know, us as media, when we get to see them in the spring game, I think those are all things that we'll be trying to find out.
When you look at moving forward to the summer and Jay Urich coming on campus, I say when he comes on campus, Wes, but let's maybe talk with what you might know right now. I mean, Jay obviously can't practice with him or anything like that. I don't know if he can come visit and see what's going on. I imagine he's got a copy of the playbook. But have you been given any indication of how much more quickly they need him to be ready to jump right onto this campus and put on a Gamecock uniform this summer and be ready to compete for that number two spot?
Yeah, you know, I think that the sort of need is accelerated there. And, you know, Jay is working his tail off right now. He actually has a private quarterback coach in Ramon Robinson with EPT training up towards you know, Greenville, Piedmont area where Jay is. And, you know, those guys work out all the time, and Jay is doing everything he can. I think the thing with Jay is that when he sort of was recruited by South Carolina, it was more of a kid with a tremendous amount of upside. Tall, big enough arm, runs a 4.5, 4.6, 40. He's someone that can do things with his legs, a hard worker. But you sort of looked at him as a guy that was just starting to scratch, you know, the surface of his potential. Now, if you look at him from junior year to senior year and sort of now, you can see he's already made a big jump. You know, this is a kid that you can see the progress is there. I think his mindset before, you know, you may be bringing him in and you want everybody to be ready to play. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think he's probably staring at a red shirt before. I think now you have to bring him in. And like I said, they're telling him you got to show up ready to play. Whether that's fair or not, that is what it is at this point. So I think he's going to, he'll continue to work with Ramon Robinson. He'll continue to try to get better. Is it ideal for a true freshman just to have to possibly come in and play? Certainly not.
I was reading where coming up on Pro Timing Day on March 14th at Williams-Rice Stadium, three names I didn't expect to see on the list, but then I read where later on where the idea of encouraging pro teams to scout players earlier surfaced last summer at the SEC's annual meetings to give them a better opportunity to have more information available when these guys do become eligible. And Zach Bailey and Hayden Hurst and Debo Samuel are going to participate in that.
I think that's smart. You know, you're talking about three guys. I was looking at Zach, sort of just paid extra attention to Zach in that final little 15-minute session we got last week. Mm-hmm. You just look at Zach Bailey, and my thought process was, and this is just me talking out of line. I don't know what Zach's thought process is, but you just look at him and you say, that kid may be headed to the NFL sooner rather than later. He just has sort of – he was already this massive kid that had tremendous upside, but you can tell just another year in the weight program, he sort of reshaped his body a little bit. I think is going to prove this year that he can play right tackle. So you're talking about someone who's going to go to the NFL either this year or next year with an ability to play inside or outside at right tackle. I think for guys like him, for Debo Samuel, who I think we sort of knew had some upside locally, but has started to become a conference-wide name. I think teams are going to be very interested to learn more about him. Hayden Hurst, obviously, is South Carolina's most productive tight end ever, I think, statistically, in a season. So these guys going ahead and getting their names to teams and letting teams see them, I think is I don't really see any downside at all. I think it's a sharp move.
I do, too. I thought once, yeah, I'm like Tommy, once I kind of – because the first time somebody even asked me yesterday, is this legal? And I was like, well, they're not so foolish as to do something that's against the rules. It's just
right.
It's just something that's a little more of a novel concept. But I'm with you. I think it's a very smart idea. And considering this year, too, as a quick aside, that no Gamecocks were at the NFL Combine, you really do mm-hmm. want to try to get your guys' names out on the top of that list for next year. And I would expect if Debo and Hayden have some pretty good years that they may well be in Indianapolis this time next year. But that's a story for another day. Talking to Wes Mitchell at Gamecock Central on some spring football notes. Wes, I do this a lot with you and Chris when you're on. What are you looking at right now? I mean, we've all sort of agreed that whether it was what we thought maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, that now a development of a number two quarterback becomes as crucial as anything else. But beyond that, what were you looking at going into spring ball as the top storyline for Will Muschamp and company?
Yeah, you know, I think my top storyline would probably be 1A, just Eric Wolford. And can we see any quick sort of tangible changes or improvement from the line? Are we able to sort of quickly see anything like that? Or is that something that is going to just take time? And then I thought 1B was sort of the return of Sky Moore and just how much he is needed in that linebacking core. And I had been told that he physically, looked outstanding, didn't appear to show any, effects still left from the neck injury. So that was something I wanted to see with my own eyes. And I thought that was the case. Didn't really seem to be moving around just like the old Sky Moore we've all seen. And the other thing, I'm always interested to see the newcomers. Jalen Dickerson, the kid I've been high on for a long time, he looks the part. I think MJ Webb, when you look at South Carolina's need on the defensive front, as a freshman to be able to go ahead and go through a couple bowl practice, now go through spring, he's another guy that looks the part. So you know, you're always sort of looking, you're trying to find who's that guy that can take that next step. And I tell you, I think another just kid to watch and maybe a storyline is Sadarius Hutcherson. You sort of look at the way some of his teammates and coaches talk about him. He may be a key to this line because we've talked a lot about upgrading the athleticism on the line. He's the guy that I think athletically upgrades that left tackle position. The big question is he ready? You know, he was more of a defensive end in high school, is learning everything. He's got the size now at about 310 pounds, but I think if he could somehow take that big step, whether that's fair or not, I don't know, but if he could, I think that would almost allow the rest of the line to sort of fall into place if you consider, like I do, that Zach Bailey, I think, has a shot to sort of lock down that right tackle spot.
Mm. Wes, I don't have the number on the top of my head right now as far as career interceptions for Sky Moore. You brought up Sky Moore. But I know that he's getting very close to the all-time the career record set by Bo Davies some 46 years ago. That would be some kind of cool if after all that many years, if Sky Moore could break it.
Yeah, it would. And I was trying to find the number real quick because I had I remember writing it when I was sort of talking about what Sky being back means. And you know, you're talking about a kid who also has every year that he's been eligible, you know, and been able to play. I mean, he led the team in tackles. So
yeah,
I don't know if a guy off the top of my head has ever just all 4 years that they've been able to play completely led the team in tackles. So the thing that Sky that I've always been so impressed with Sky is just the stuff that you can't teach and the stuff that does not show up in height, weight, 40-yard dash. Just the pure instincts, the ability of Sky Moore to be near the football, to me is uncanny. And I think he's probably one of the best in South Carolina history of just instinctually being where he needs to be. So I think that's something. You look at that trio, Sky Moore, Bryson Williams, T.J. Brunson, who's going to take a big step, I think, this year. You feel good about those three guys at linebacker.
11. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead, Wes. I was going to say, I was going to give you the numbers real quick. 11 career interceptions. First player since Tony Watkins, 92 through 94, to lead the team in tackles three straight years. And Wood, if he does it next year, would become the first in school history to do it in all four.
Wow. Man, that's good stuff. And just ask the Tar Heels how good Sky Moore is. I mean, they statistically should have won that game against South Carolina year before last. And because of his two interceptions in the end zone, the Gamecocks were able to hold him off and get the big win. But he's quite a player.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, obviously, some questions behind those three guys at linebacker as you start looking at depth. But you look at that trio, and I think that's a good place to start for South Carolina. I think Sherrod Green, if you look at this class coming in, I think Sherrod Green is sort of the first man up as having a chance to work into that linebacker rotation as far as the newcomers go.
Wes, last thing for you here. We'll step away from the current roster. Give us an idea of what recruiting is like this spring. Give fans an idea as well of the opportunities high schoolers have, be they rising seniors, even juniors and sophomores. What's it like now, perhaps in the spring, relative to what we had gotten used to the last few years of the Spurrier era?
Yeah, you know, lots of offers going out. I think, multiple junior days so far. They sort of broke it up a little bit differently this year. I think last year they were trying to play catch up so much. They had a couple of really big junior days. This year they've done multiple sort of smaller, I hesitate to even call them junior days, but I guess that's what they are. You know, having like a handful to a dozen kids on campus. Then late last month they did have a big junior day. They may have another one. I'm not sure about that, but constantly kids rolling in for spring practice when they can. There'll be a bunch of kids at the, of course, the spring game on April 1st. And then the process really starts to turn to camps. And South Carolina, more so, maybe the biggest overall change with South Carolina as far as the recruiting staff is the amount of attention that is put on and the amount of importance that is put into these camps they have pretty much all June. I was looking at the schedule. Just like last year, there's like, I don't know, 20-something days of camps in June. So that's something that will certainly be worth watching moving forward. And I don't know if I've been on the show since Darius Rush committed, but I really, really like that pickup for South Carolina. Outstanding kid, outstanding family. Kind of a little bit raw, but a great athlete, and plays five sports in high school, which to me is unheard of these days.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and a pretty good student from what we understand too. So fits all of it into the entire package, and that is certainly something to make a lot of people smile about moving forward. Wes, good stuff as always. We appreciate you, and we'll do it again real soon.
Gentlemen, I appreciate it. You have a great day, okay?
You bet. That's Wes Mitchell, Gamecock Central, Wes Mitchell GC, to follow him on Twitter, and of course all his work at GamecockCentral.com.